Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We're a comedic, social, and current events podcast where we give you a nerdy outlook on what's going on in the world today, letting you inside the inner conclave of nerdom, and we're here to take over the world with our nerd imperium. So all hail the Currently Nerdy Empire. Fuck you. Fuck you, guys. I don't even know why I try with you. We give this podcast to you free every week on currentlynerdy.com and on iTunes. So please feel free to rate, review, subscribe, and share our page and podcast to all your friends, family members, and loved ones. Because remember, you truly don't love someone until you have spread the gospel of Currently Nerdy. Hallelujah. Holla back, lil homie. Amen.
I just want to point out that every time you do that, it doesn't make me understand it anymore.
What, hallelujah, holla back, lil homie?
I don't know what you're saying.
I don't know.
Did you steal it from somebody?
I think so. There was like that white rapper show. I forgot the guy's name. But he used to say, hallelujah, holla back, little homie. That was my shit back in the day. Wait, I don't know. We give this pot. Oh, no, we already did that. We are the hosts of this mesmerizing, amazing, wonderful, pontificating podcast. My name is Diz, and I am your pop culture and sports nerd, which means I could tell you that Patty Duke died at age 69 over the weekend. I don't know who she is, but I guess she was...
Who's some Patty Duke?
I don't know. She was an actress of some sort, but she died at age 69. And I can tell you that WrestleMania is this Sunday in Dallas, Texas, in front of 100,000 people. And now to the man who will help you get an A on your history of the Middle East and North Africa test. Ali, take it away.
Okay, actually get to the region that I worked on. That was good. My name is Ali Alomi. I am the classic nerd of the group, which means that I was into things that were nerdy before nerdy became suddenly mainstream and cool. So I guess I'm not nerdy anymore.
You're a hipster.
I'm hipster, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not, I refuse. V, who are you?
I'm V. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I am your comic book, movie, gaming nerd, food nerd, travel nerd. Anything that Diz and Ali do not cover, I try to.
Yes, like AIDS.
What?
No, God damn it. I always make AIDS jokes up.
Ricky Gervais told Liam Neeson, you can't make AIDS jokes. AIDS is never funny.
Like, I'm sorry, man. It's the first thing that came into my mind. It's been a long weekend and a long night.
AIDS is never funny.
Because the three of us went to some cons this weekend.
We did. We were kind of tired.
V went to WonderCon, and me and Ali went to Afghan American Con.
Take you what it is. It's called Afghan American Conference.
Don't
call it a con. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
You say Afghan American Con. It sounds like you're doing a heist.
AAC. What's up, bro? Afghan 2016. Hashtag.
So, V, how did your con go?
It was good. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I always like WonderCon. I was a little pissed that it was in L.A. instead of Anaheim this year.
You drove all the way to L.A.?
I did.
Where did you stay?
I didn't stay.
You drove? There.
I drove.
Every night?
No, I was only there for one day this year.
You only went Sunday?
Yeah, because I didn't really want to go and stay in L.A. So I only went on Sunday. It was really cool. The L.A. crowd's a lot different
than the San Diego crowd?
The Anaheim crowd. Uh-huh. It was just... Like, it seemed a little bit smaller than usual, but I think it's because they're not used to being in LA.
Okay.
But luckily for us, especially for me, because I only live 10 minutes away from the Anaheim Convention Center, they're actually signed up for another 2 years in Anaheim.
Okay.
They only moved up there because there was certain construction issues with the convention center this year for these dates. And they also, because it's over Easter weekend, so it's a little bit weird.
Yeah,
because you know you have a lot of people who are doing the their He Is Risen thing.
Were they doing the Easter thing at the con?
No, what? They do East. It's Easter weekend every year.
It's Easter weekend every year for WonderCon.
Yeah, I know. I get.
Yeah.
No, they didn't have freaking mega churches outside the con.
That's what I was asking.
No, not really. There was people with signs and shit, like always. Protesting.
That's what I meant.
Oh, okay,
they
do
that every year, though.
They're always there no matter what. Doesn't even matter. But
Hulk loves Jesus.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes, that sign was great. The Hulk loves Jesus. And there was also, which I really enjoyed, actually, was the cosplay was really cool.
On Sunday, even?
Yeah, it's a lot of really cool cosplay, actually, oddly enough. Out in front, you know, you don't even have a ticket to go up there. People just dress up, and they just kind of show up in their costumes. It's always really kind of cool. And yeah, I always have fun. It's kind of a smaller... It's a Comic-Con light, but it gets bigger every single year, which is really cool.
You went as Colin Cassidy, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. It was one of my best outfits yet.
S-A-W-F-T. Soft.
You guys didn't check out my Instagram. There's a picture of me with a Ninja Turtle, which is really great.
I
liked it. And I also commissioned a photo for my blog of M. Bison, but he has a sandwich floating in his hand. Yeah, so... I was really excited about that, and then I'm excited for San Diego. It's got me, you know, I'm used to spending 3 days at the con. It's only doing one at WonderCon it wasn't enough, to be honest with you. But it got me really excited to go to San Diego this year. So okay,
that's in July again.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm super excited for San Diego, and then also you have Long Beach Comic Con, which is also getting really big.
That comes in
September.
I guess in the fall.
So
I'll go to that with you.
Okay,
hopefully.
Honestly, we can go to Stan Lee's Kamikaze too. There are 4 or 5 big cons in Southern California. Every single year.
Yeah, nerds live here, bro. We rule.
Yeah.
Nerds rule.
It's the greatest thing in the world. Wow. And then eventually, you know, I'd like to go to like C2E2 in Chicago, Dragon Con in Georgia, New York Comic Con.
Wizard World
also was, you know, really, so there's some really cool things out there for you to spend all your money on nerdy things, your pop dolls and, you know, your graphic novels or, you know, weird Halo, like foam swords.
Did your boy have his stand there again?
Which one?
From the Nuclear Comics.
Oh, yeah. Kenny.
Kenny had his
Nuclear Comics. Kenny's there all the time. It's really cool. I always buy from him because he gets you. The cool thing about Kenny is that he has all the newest graphic novels, and he's always doing a 30% discount on them.
At WonderCon?
Yeah, at any con, right? And the thing is, and this is kind of how they get you. A lot of these comic book places, they go to cons, and they'll have like a 50% off graphic novel section, right? The only problem is it's usually crap that no one wants.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to find something that you're really looking for, you have to sit there for an hour kind of going through all these comic book boxes to find what you like.
Mm-hmm.
The cool thing about what I like about Kenny at Nuclear Comics is that he has all the good stuff right up front.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's able to, and then he just takes, it's a 30% off most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has some little auxiliary stuff in the back.
Okay.
And there's a handful of other comic places that do that. There's a bunch of them. The ones that are usually easy to find, the good titles, are the ones that don't really give you discounts.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and there's a handful that are good.
Yeah.
But Kenny's is the best. I also got to meet the writers, Tom Neely and Keenan Keegan, of one of my favorite comics right now, The Humans. Yeah, I got them to sign my stuff, took pictures of them, and that's a really cool graphic novel if anyone's interested out of Image Comics. It's basically about this like biker gang in like the 70s, only they're all apes. So it's like chimps and like orangutans, and one comes back from the Vietnam War and's all like PTSD and fucked up.
They all look like me then.
Yeah.
That's racist.
They're all biker gangs.
I could say that.
Something racist about it. It's true.
Now let me ask you something, Diz. How many graphic novels on discount did you buy at AfghanCon?
I didn't, but I bought a few shirts. I bought a Team Kabul shirt.
Ah, yes.
I bought an Afghan American Conference shirt. I bought the shirt that I'm wearing now. It just says Afghanistan. It has different provinces. And then, Ali, do you know what that says there? I can't read it because
you're too short.
Look, read.
It looks like a tapeworm.
What is it? I don't know what it says.
Maybe. It's calligraphy.
It's calligraphy. I don't know what it is. But
don't wear that at the airport, though.
No.
Yeah.
I wore a Team Kabul shirt going to Batman versus Superman last night by myself. So I watched it
by myself too.
Yeah, people were staring. The Afghan American Conference. I mean, me and Ali went last year, and you know, it just, you know, reaffirmed my sense of pride in my community. I met great people. I reconnected with great people that I had met last year. And it was an overall great time. I laughed. I cried. I hugged people. I made
family members. Yeah, we got teary-eyed a little bit.
Yeah, we did. It was very moving. Last year was moving in a way like where like I felt like emotionally attached to people, but this year I legit like actually cried a few times. Like I got teary eyed. Like I didn't start bawling, but I did cry a little. Because you know, people open up, and like you open up with these people, and you become like so much closer. So it's a great experience. If you're Afghan and American and Afghan, or if you're an Afghan American and you're listening to our podcast and haven't gone, you need to go.
Yeah, you definitely need to go.
Yeah.
I was actually originally back in 2015 quite hesitant to go.
Yeah, I kind of forced you to go.
I'm not particularly a social person, as many people know. Well, I'm friendly. I'm very friendly. I'm an introvert, quite an extreme introvert that projects or presents as an extrovert,
mm-hmm.
right? So like people think I am because I'm very charming,
yeah.
But in general, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm actually quite an introverted. And I didn't want to go also because I'm
just didn't think our interests aligned.
Yeah.
And I went, and it was one of the best experiences of the year.
Yeah, last year.
And I couldn't wait till this year.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, I got a chance, like Diz said, to reconnect with some really old friends who I met once or twice but became fast, lifelong friends who we hang out with digitally and over the phone and whatnot. I got to meet new friends. And this year, AAC had grown exponentially.
Yeah.
It was at UCLA, and they had like 75 panels, whereas last year it was like 20 panels or something like that.
I think so. Right?
It wasn't a lot. There was like three panels a day?
Three panels every like session. Three or four panels every
session.
Whereas
this time it was 75, a lot of it going concur at the same time. And it was fantastic.
It was dope.
They had panels or safe spaces and brave spaces and caucuses and discussions and keynote speeches and presentations from talking about homophobia in the Afghan American community to gendered double standards to sexual assault to professionalization, STEM, education, entertainment, and arts.
Yeah.
We also had presentations of young Afghan American artists, one of whom is Gina and Samir Karimi, who are...
Yeah. Samir and Gina.
If you haven't seen them on YouTube, look at Samir and Gina, or Gina and Samir.
Samir and Gina.
Oh, I remember they play the instruments, right?
Yeah, okay. Phenomenal. What makes them really great, and they're really like my style of music,
uh-huh.
is they use like classical instruments like the tabla,
and then the
grand piano to play either Afghan songs or modern songs. Like one of my favorite memories of last year was Gina and Samir playing
Halo.
Beyonce's Halo, but with Afghan instruments and the piano. Like, you know, like to me, that was like phenomenal.
No.
Right? Because I, you know me, I like the classical instruments with modern music.
One of the guys who stole the show for me, Silo Mentality.
Silo Mentality, check him out Silo on SoundCloud. Silo Mentality
OE on SoundCloud.
He was a young Afghan rapper.
Rapper, singer.
Sandman, man. Yeah. I'm gonna listen to that show all the day.
He took the word Sand N-word and turned it into
Sandman.
Turned it into
a song. Very empowering.
Nice.
There was also professionalization panels, so like how to build your brand, networking. So it was interpersonal, it was professional, it was academic, it was all of that. We had keynote speeches by Reza Hasabi, who did a fantastic bit on fiction writing, creative fiction, and writing our own heroes.
Yeah.
I hope they put some of these TED Talks up on YouTube. They were really great. We had a lot of stuff.
So your con was very transformative.
Yeah.
Whereas mine was more masturbatory.
Yeah. Okay. Very transformative. It was very impactful, meaningful. I mean, as we're recording this, we just came back from a reunion. And by reunion, I mean 2 days at
How is that possible? How
we left on Sunday. We left on Sunday and we're reunioning.
It's Tuesday right now.
On Tuesday. Yeah. But for the record, it's the unofficial reunion.
Yes, unofficial.
And it wasn't the earliest reunion.
Yes,
San Diego had their reunion yesterday.
Jesus, it's not a reunion if you get
Bay Area's having theirs. It's Wednesday. Wednesday.
Well, no, Wednesday's LA.
Wednesday's LA. This weekend is Bay Area. And then we'll see when East Coast.
So what is this? What is a like
a reunion is just basically AAC had AAC participants have withdrawal from all the love and
I understand excitement. That, you know, especially, you know, I mean, I grew up, I might as well have grown up Afghan because I've known you guys for so long. And I know that you guys, you know, you're a pack culture. You need to find ways. I know you're not, right?
I definitely
am. I always feel like every time I go to an Afghan house, there needs to be at least 8 cars in the driveway.
Yeah. Right? German, what I call the German blockade.
The German blockade, right? We've been using that for years.
Yeah.
So what is exactly, I don't speak Tumblr, so what is a safe space, brave space?
Okay, so a safe space is where only members of that particular group or identity are present.
Okay.
And they share amongst each other. It's safe because no one will, you don't take what happens outside. So a safe space would be like a women's safe space, sexual assault safe space. These are kind of safe spaces, right? Okay. Or survivors of sexual assault.
Yeah.
A brave space is talking about a topic that is either taboo or difficult to talk about.
Gender dynamics.
Dynamics or homophobia. But you don't have to be of that identity. So like the homophobia one, I think all straight people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
I think so. Or at least that's all we know. And that's all that matters. Like, it doesn't matter who was there, right?
Yeah.
But that's the point, right? A caucus is also of that gender. So, like, for example, there's a male caucus, a female caucus.
Yeah.
Diz was supposed to filter. You didn't filter very well. I'm joking. Women were setting up things, and they're coming and going, so I kept blaming Diz for not filtering the male caucus properly.
Oh, yeah. Well, they didn't come in while we were speaking. No, they were coming in while we were setting up.
They were setting up.
And I was letting people in.
There's 12 organizers.
12 organizers. 12
organizers. I'm not going to name them all. I think we're going to forget a bunch of them.
Yeah.
But from Salman Hussein, Sophie Hussein, Omar Aziz, Husna,
Rostana, Sabrina,
Medina Nuristani,
Farhat,
Zakia, and we're missing a few.
Samim
and Gina. That's 10. We're missing two more.
Husna
Mohammed.
I don't know, man.
But 10. They were all fantastic. Like they ran around. Zakia, did you get Zakia?
I got Zakia.
They ran around and organized this thing. Now this was on UCLA, so it wasn't in one building. It was in multiple buildings.
Yeah, we did.
And they managed to herd cats. Like, you know, get Afghans who are notoriously late at everything to show up,
of course,
do things on time. They're super volunteer. Daoud Hussein
was dope.
Literally created an app. Well, he didn't create the app, but he created a portion of the app.
Yeah.
Called Guidebook, where all of our agendas were on there, along with the facilitators and the various talks.
And we could do our evaluations. We could do
evaluations on there. And it was great. It was fantastic. I myself gave 3 presentations every day. So Friday.
Friday did the history of Afghanistan.
The history of Afghanistan. It was actually called Heart of Asia.
Graveyard of Empires,
History of Afghanistan.
Of course.
I legitimately went in there thinking 10, 20 people at the most.
Yeah, bro.
And it was massive. It was like at 80 least people. 60 to 80 60, people.
60 to 80 people that came in and out.
A lot of people.
Let me listen to the title, of course.
Yeah, but I didn't expect that people would come to a history.
Yeah, because they had a build your brand one. They had writing your own personal narrative at the same time.
These are all like really
Hotter, like 10.
Yeah, but see, now all that stuff sounds like crap you get from some random blog off Google,
like, that
right?
Stuff like, to me sounded more interesting. I'm like, I'm a nerd. I do well with white people and academics. I don't do well with Afghans, right? It's always been, this is actually one of the reasons why.
You're not a fan of the Afghans.
I'm a fan of the Afghans. Afghans aren't a fan of me.
Typically. Not at this conference. People love him at this conference.
By which I mean my own family.
Right? Of course, yeah.
Except me. I'm only an elite supporter.
Right. It's unfortunate, which means your mom's evil. But the reality is that I've always had the experience that, like, and this is because of Orange County Afghans. Like, the Orange County Afghans I've always met were not interested in the things I was interested in, right? So we almost never found common ground. So I want to talk politics. I want to talk history. I want to talk, like, I want to nerd out.
Yeah.
Right? And they didn't, right? So, like, for me, I was like, okay, they invited me. Sophie was very lovely. And Omar, they, like, you know, you can give this talk. And I'm like, okay, well, to the 5 people that'll show up.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I had no expectation, but people came in and they were engaged and very interested and legitimately asked questions.
Well, that's good. Well, because you have a lot of academics that are attending. There are quite a few academics
that went there as well. We have a small contingent of Afghan academics that now formed a group out of it. So I did the history of Afghanistan talk, which was a kind of a good talk. Diz, did you enjoy it?
I did.
It was kind of I played a little trick, right? Yeah. I showed them the secret side of history.
Yeah.
I showed them how history can be interesting.
Diz Snapchatted a part of one of your lectures.
That's probably the one. Yeah.
History of Afghanistan.
Yeah. My bald head up in front of a PowerPoint.
Yeah, that was it.
History. I didn't go to his other one. I didn't go to the second one.
The second one was an education panel. He went to the entertainment panel.
Yeah, arts and
of course he did.
With Fahim Anwar, who does Lance Costas or whatever.
Something. But he's a stand-up comedian.
Hilarious.
Awesome.
Absolutely hilarious.
There was Ariana Delawari, who's
beautiful musician.
Beautiful, but she's also a director and actress.
Also director, actress, also artist.
Yeah.
She does like everything.
She's a renaissance woman.
Renaissance woman. There was also Ali Baluch, who we mentioned. He's a YouTube celebrity.
Yeah.
Social media, god.
Director.
Right? He's also a director. Does some amazing docuseries on YouTube.
We had Waleed Amini, who's another Afghan actor.
Yeah.
And then there was Zainab Aziz, who works for a talent agency. So she was kind of giving us the background on talent agencies.
That was the education panel. At the same time, there was a STEM panel. There was a non-profit panel, law and public policy, which is usually really popular.
Yeah.
Because everyone wants like a law and public. And then me and Mariam Wardak did the education panel together.
Nice.
Which was really an education roundtable, right?
Yeah.
Rather than us talking.
There was so like a bunch of people that were talking.
Two dudes. Me and another guy.
Well, Idris. You don't count. You're hosting it. Idris Waziri, my long lost cousin.
Yeah, he was there and all women.
It's a good
women,
name, Idris.
All women. In fact, we actually talked about the gender dynamics in education.
Yeah, because I was the only guy there last year.
He's like, and he's like, I told my parents I was getting in, going into education. They're like, that's a woman's job, right? So we talked about these. This was what we talked about. And then Imam Sadiq, who's a dear, the sister of one of my dear friends, and now Imam's by one of my dear friends, created Afghan Academics. And out of this came the Afghan Education Network. So a lot of fantastic, it wasn't just talk. It was really productive. Like, we actually created things, and it led to things that are, I think, going to be quite meaningful and significant.
Man, Saturday, your boy went on stage, cuz what's up?
No, Sunday.
Sunday.
Sunday, Sunday we had another talk. It was a panel discussion, and that was TSN, the Summer War Network. Shout out to them. Yeah. But this time we did it live.
It was dope.
In front of 400 people.
All right, so here's the craziest part, all right? So
it was a panel of us.
Yeah, it was a panel of us, and it was great. But we had the listener, or the people.
Hold on, let me shout out the panels before you tell your story.
Okay.
FIFA was on there. Noura was on there.
Masood.
Masood was on there. Omar was on there. Reza. I was on there. Reza was on there. You were on there.
And don't forget
Sabajan. If you say Sabra, I'm going to put you in your throat. Favorite. Sabra. If you say Sabra, I'm going to put you in your throat.
Sabajan. Sabra last week.
Oh, did I really? Yeah. I'm sorry.
Her name is Saba.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you Saba.
I like sitting next to Saba. Being next to her.
Oh, gives me, shit.
Gives me like, she's got a good presence, right? Like, she's good aura. Awesome. Yeah. So, we talked.
She sat in between you and I.
She said, yeah. We talked about identity, religion, and hyphen identity. Okay. And it was a really intense panel. It was funny. Diz got the crowd to laugh several times. I got the crowd to laugh once when I made a bald joke.
Yeah.
Reza made them laugh a few times. I got a lot of claps, though.
He did. I don't think I'm getting claps and snaps. But here's the shitty part, all right? I'm sitting here trying to have this serious freaking conversation.
The way it's set up is we're up on stage. Diz is also running the laptop so that people can text in questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here are the questions I'm getting. Diz, what are your keys to success? Diz, what kind of product do you use in your beard? Diz, do you do your own lineup? Diz, are the rumors about you true? Diz, do you do your own eyebrows? Diz, why aren't you telling us about your keys? Diz, wipe that smile off your face, you coy bastard.
Oh, Diz, scratch your nose or Zyde gets it.
Diz, I heard you kiss Zyde once.
Now, to be clear, that was the minority of the question.
No, it was a lot of the questions.
No. The majority of the questions were actual serious questions, but his friends were also messing with him at the same time. Of course, right?
Naturally.
So we were getting really serious questions like, you know, how do you feel when someone says, oh, that's so Afghan, right? So they were asking real questions as they were texting, but we also had some jokers in the crowd.
That I mean, come on, you get open rein to anyone, right?
It's going to happen. And every time I spoke, my friend was recording it on Snapchat and just zooming in talking shit about me.
Yeah,
zoom in. This asshole on stage.
Strategic zoom on Snapchat is actually quite funny.
The most unimportant, important person ever. Like,
wow.
Look at this guy. He zoomed in on my face, blocked off everything but my nose, and turned it into a shark. Like, it was that fucker.
So, was there anything specifically? Like, what was it? Like, what was, like, the kind of the general theme there? Because I know there's a lot of people on stage.
For us?
The Samuel Network.
It was about religion in the Afghan community and identity. And how is it big, like, with the idea of how does it alienate, divide, and or
bring mistrust?
Bring the community together, right? So it was a very interesting topic. It was very popular. TSN has since grown even bigger. Like, we keep getting likes on our Facebook page.
Good.
It's growing quite well. And I think we did well as a panel.
I think we did too.
I mean, my history talk went well, the education talk went well, but I think the Summer War Network, thanks to the fantastic panelists, did really well. Everyone was really insightful. Everyone was really smart.
Everyone was very dope, right, Ali?
Everyone was dope. I used dope.
You used dope.
In a group message, and they won't let me live it down.
Yeah. He goes, I want to hear some of your dope speeches. So now we won't let...
You all swear as if I've never said dope before. I've said dope before. I just don't say it commonly.
It just seems weird when Ali writes, I want to hear some of your dope speeches. Yeah.
I do. I don't always speak like I'm writing a dissertation.
You sound like you're...
You gave your phone off to some random... Like a random...
I say dope. If he sent you a text like, hey, that was a dope blog post you just posted, would you be like, who the fuck is this?
I'd throw my phone away.
Right?
Yeah, like I'd throw it out the window.
I use modern language.
This thing is possessed.
Not often.
I told
you guys I used bae to teach a class.
We took some subliminal shots at Ali while we were doing it. A couple of people said dope on stage.
A lot of people said dope.
Yeah.
Just kind of fuck with him. I don't think
he did. Of course.
No, I was too busy shining.
Yes, of course. Well, I had another question for all of you guys. Mm-hmm. For Ali, Diz, for Saba. Saba.
It's literally S A B A. It's not that difficult.
I'm sorry. Okay.
If we could say your name, you could say her name.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I love hummus. I'm a hummus person, but you know, I can't support them anymore. Right. Mm-hmm. So anyone, how many people were dressed up as Thanos?
No one was dressed as
Thanos. No one was dressed as Thanos.
Deadpool? Harley Quinns out there?
I looked like Thanos.
No one was dressed up like that.
No?
We were dressed as...
Who cosplayed? Was there any cosplay?
We cosplayed as young professionals.
Yeah. I pretended to be important.
We furthered our careers and personal development.
Well, you're not going to get Instagram followers by doing that.
I got hella likes on my picture, bro. 462 Afghans in one photo. What's up, bro?
I got 106 likes on my post.
Yeah. Good for you.
So go fuck yourself, V. Yeah, and your Thanos.
We're dope, motherfucker.
I'm going to kick your ass.
You can't take me. I would fucking work you like Superman did Batman.
That's not what happened.
He told him I could end this if I wanted at any time. By the way, we're going to talk about Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Why did you have a seizure as you said Dawn of Justice?
You gotta say it like that. Dawn of Justice.
You sound like you're having a seizure.
Dawn of Justice.
He's having a stroke. Yeah. Turn him on his side, V. Like do you taste copper right now?
Dawn of Justice. So if you haven't watched the movie, tune out now because we're going to give you spoilers.
But before you tune out, you should go and apply to the African American conference next year.
Yeah, as long as
you're Afghan, though.
Yeah, the application isn't open yet, so you have to wait for a year.
Yeah, and as long make as sure you're Afghan. Yeah, make sure you're African American.
Actually, maybe what if they get a bunch of random white people applying?
Ali and Diz told us to apply. Yeah. What does African American mean?
My name is Kevin.
I don't know, man. This guy told me to sign up for it.
Yes, the Currently Nerdy told me to
sign up. Yeah, go like the Sum of Water Network on Facebook. If you're tuning out. Anyways, so if you haven't watched the movie, tune out now because we're going to spoil the fuck out of it. Yeah,
tune out and go listen to this on Moon Network while we talk.
We will spoil the fuck out of it right now. All right, so first thoughts. I want to say I watched it yesterday. I think you watched it today, right? Today or yesterday?
Today.
V, you watched it Friday?
No, I watched it I literally left WonderCon and I went and watched it.
Okay, so you watched it Sunday.
Yeah.
And we all watched it alone because we're nerds and we only have us as our friends.
We all watched it at different times this way.
But V, you watched it first. I asked you if you've seen it. You said yes, and you said you hated it or you didn't like it.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it. Now, personally, I thought the movie was good. I didn't think it was great. I didn't think it was bad. I thought it was good. Like it was a solid 6.5, 7 maybe at most. I didn't expect it to be the movie of the year. I didn't expect it to be as good as Deadpool. I don't expect it to be as good as Suicide Squad will be, hopefully. Yeah. But it was what I thought it would be. It was dark. It was gritty. It didn't overly give me a Batman, like origin story, because everyone fucking knows Batman's origin story. It gave me a solid 2 minutes of, Batman's origin story, which is cool. It flashed back to Man of Steel, where Batman and Superman and General Zod were fighting and causing destruction. And you see like the anger in Bruce Wayne's face as he's going over there trying to like protect people that he cares about. But like if I had to nitpick it, it was a little much. Like there was too much going on in the movie for me. Like they were trying to throw too much at me. The fight scene between Batman and Superman wasn't as long as I would hope it would be. I was hoping for like a nice like 30-minute battle, and I got like an 8-minute match. So it's like they didn't give him enough time.
Well, they spent most of the movie building.
They did.
It was a building conflict for most of the movie.
But I thought the action scenes with Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman versus Doomsday was great. Wonder Woman's cameo? Can you call it a cameo? But
well, I mean, she was featured in there. It wasn't like she was just like she's not a cameo in the sense of the way that Cyborg, Flash, and Aquaman
were. Yeah,
yeah.
But I mean, she wasn't like one of the main
Who wasn't one of the
Wonder Woman? Mm-hmm. Like she wasn't one of the main protagonists.
At the end, she was.
She was. Yeah, but she was there. It was an introductory movie into Justice League.
Yeah, and she kind of stole the show.
I did. Yeah. I enjoyed her. Gail Gadot did really well. Yeah. There was a nice crotch shot of hers.
Was there?
Because you guys don't look at her crotch. I was looking at her crotch because clearly I'm the misogynist.
They are really. This is the sword and shield.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder.
Yeah. Well, she had a lasso truth.
But this is a much more warrior.
Yeah.
Amazonian. Yeah.
She looked intense. She looked ready to do battle.
Gal Gadot is so beautiful.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, like, she's
fucking gorgeous. You also got...
they made her look really tall in this movie. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, yeah, brief really cameos of Aquaman.
Yeah, like Khal Drogo.
Yeah,
yeah, Flash. Jason Momoa. Which I thought didn't look very... It looked weird. He was just this dude floating from a cave.
Yeah. Flash.
And, Flash with a Cyborg. Beard Flash.
Is it Ezra Miller?
Yeah, I think so.
And Cyborg. Who's playing Cyborg?
I don't know.
Oh, I forgot his name. I looked it up the other day, too.
Yeah, whatever.
Someone tell me who's...
Really, Zack Snyder was embracing the supernatural in this.
He was.
Yeah. The meta-humans. He's really diving into that.
Yeah, I don't feel like he's just got a really ham-fisted style.
He does. His metaphors are extraordinarily ham-fisted and heavy-handed.
Yeah.
It's not
very... a little bit too much for me. There's
that ending scene, spoiler alert, right? We've already warned people, where Superman is laying in Lois Lane's arms. Is straight out of the Pietà. The Jesus symbolism was so over the top. Mm-hmm.
Well, he literally he did that with the whole Christian symbolism was just all just
over
plastered
the
all over.
And I like that there was a sign in there that said that you can't be a Christian and pro alien.
You know what's particularly weird about it was you could tell he had stolen or not stolen. He was inspired by a bunch of different comic books.
Yeah,
Batman Returns, in which you're right.
It's
darker Batman,
Dark Knight. Dark Knight Returns,
Injustice, Dark Knight Returns. God's Amongst Us, right? He took a little bit of that.
Did he? I think that's a game. Is that a comic too? I don't know.
It's a comic too.
Okay, yeah.
Well, in that one, in that storyline, so you know how like Batman has a dream where he's like going into like the desert and like he kills a dude and he gets trapped by Superman. So in the Injustice comic, what happens is and he has the flashback from the Flash comes in and tells him like Lois Lane is the key or whatever, right?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be the Flash coming back in time and telling him that.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, the Flash. Yeah, it's the Flash coming back in time and telling him.
So they really embrace that. Huh? Yeah,
but
it's that time travel.
Yeah, in that storyline in that comic book in Injustice, what happens is Joker kind of uses a scarecrow poison on Superman. And at this point, Lois Lane is pregnant with Superman's child. So he thinks Lois Lane is Doomsday. He takes her up in space, and that's when the toxin wears off, and he notices that it's Lois, but she's dead because he dragged her into space. So he comes down to Earth after like grieving and shit for like a minute or two, and Batman's already captured Joker and has him in prison, and Superman busts through the prison. And, Batman's like, no, stop. Like, we have him. You know, he's not going to get out. And he's like, I'm going to do what you didn't have the courage to do. And he goes over and snaps Joker's neck.
Ah, okay.
Kills Joker, becomes a totalitarian leader, says, these people on Earth, no matter what, they don't know what's good for them. I know what's good for them. I'm going to be the leader. Grabs all the world's leaders, tells them, I'm running the show now. He has the Justice League working with them for a little bit, but some of them kind of are like, this isn't freedom. This isn't what we stand for. So, Batman was with them at first, but then he's turning away looking for a way to, defeat Superman. So he goes into the desert looking for kryptonite, where he gets ambushed by the Superman and the Superman police. That's why they all had their badges.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's actually in the storyline. That's why Superman comes down and says, you let her die. Referring to Lois Lane.
Oh, okay. So that was that point where I'm like, why is he having... He's having visions and shit.
Yeah, he had a vision of what happens later on.
Yeah, when did Batman started becoming clairvoyant
and shit? He had like a lithium flashback or something. Like, it was really weird.
Clairvoyant.
Like, and
when did Superman have mediumship abilities and he could speak to the dead?
Yeah.
Like he's chatting with his dad up in the mountain.
Yeah, I'm going. He's in there. He's rolling the bone.
That's right? Fucking Zack Snyder for you, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
He tries to do this like surreal, over-the-top kind of vision dark, right? Like it's like it doesn't work that way.
Here's what I didn't like.
And again, it was a lot like Man of Steel. It was slow, a lot of kind of disjointed
I didn't find it too slow.
It was
slow. It was
disjointed, kind of like they were like overly ham-fisted metaphors and artistic moments. And all strung together, and then big flashy scenes with everything breaking in your head, going, "Oh, why am I feeling?"
There was no, I didn't find much harmony. Like there's no rhythm in the storyline for me. Uh-huh. But you realize that it was a 3-hour movie that was cut to two and a half hours.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. Maybe it's like they were forced to make those cuts, or they had to, and it made the movie a little bit disjointed for me. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it was just there was just little things I found the Luthor being just completely insufferable.
You didn't like Lex?
I didn't like him at all.
See, I did.
I thought Jesse Eisenberg did a good job as an actor, but that was not Lex Luthor.
See, Zeiss,
so like his performance, I'm like, okay, that's a good performance. It's interesting. The way his facial twerk, right, but the problem is, yeah, that's not Lex Luthor.
No, I okay. So here's
that's, I don't know what that was.
Here's Mark Zuckerberg. Here's what I took it as. I took it as a mix of Gene Hackman's Lex Luthor and a little bit of Heath Ledger's Joker.
Yeah, and throwing cracked out Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, well, that's because every time you see Eisenberg,
no, literally, he was a young CEO. There was even the first scene you see him in,
he's playing ball.
He's playing ball.
Yeah, I kind of.
That's not
like I saw a, you know what I actually saw? I saw a really watered down attempt at being like a Jim Carrey's Riddler.
Here's what I know. That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know, I could like see that. And the whole like the Jolly Rancher scene.
Yeah, that was
weird.
Whole thing. Was like, I get that they were trying to play up his. They've tried to make him more insane than cunning and maniacal.
Yeah,
Lex Luthor is a megalomaniac. He's in control. He's aloof.
Yeah, like it's just
he's huge. A scientist. Yeah. Right? This guy is much more manic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's kind of crazy, right? He's everywhere. Well, what I didn't get, what was his motivation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was just because Zack Snyder wanted him, Batman and Superman, to fight. If you think about it.
No, he wanted to show.
No justifiable reason for him
to. He wanted to show that, like, you know.
But why?
I don't know, right?
Like, it just
Batman has a reason. He saw his friend Chad, who I thought he was saying dad for some reason.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, his dad's already dead. Who's this guy? Stepdad.
Chad,
adopted father.
It's Chad, bro.
Who's Chad? But Chad dies. Public. You could see him. That's Batman's motivation, right?
He sees destruction.
He sees destruction. And goes, I cannot allow this to happen.
Yeah.
Jesse Eisenberg, no reason. Lex Luthor is just—he's playing b-ball. And he's like, I must take on Superman.
Yeah.
And in order to do so, the Bat of Gotham must fight him.
Well, he kind of was going. I guess he didn't like that Superman had all this power.
Yeah, but like, again,
I don't get it. I don't know. I don't.
No, yeah, but there's no way of them. Like, he just kind of starts doing this stuff.
Yeah, for no reason.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, in my opinion. It was different because I always see Lex Luthor as being this genius scientist who's Machiavellian. And, you know, he'll do things he'll do good things, but only for his means, right?
Yeah, doesn't he become president of the United States at one point?
In the comics. He's looking. He has an end goal, and he's playing chess 35, 40 moves ahead. Scientist. He's a narcissist. This one, he's like this. He's that crazy fucking CEO, like the Zuckerberg thing.
Yeah,
he's a crazy CEO.
I see that,
and he does weird shit, and he's just awkward.
What did you think of his acting? Because my cousin Zayed said that he overacted.
I don't think he overacted. I think it was not a nuanced performance.
Yeah, he did the character, I think, as they wanted it to. Yeah, and he did it crazy. All right, yeah.
Yeah, like maniacal.
But crazy, it worked.
I found myself just hating him on, like, not hating to the point where, like, a villain should be hated, but just hating the fact that he was on screen.
He had X-Pac heat.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, like a wrestling term. Yeah.
Wrestling term. So there's a term called heat.
I don't want to know.
Yeah,
I don't have the brain cells to waste on stupid shit like you do. Don't care. The point is that he was not. He didn't fit the movie.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I think what they were trying to do was because they understand Snyder's style. It's like he literally rakes your face across gravel when it comes to like his movie style.
Yeah, it's not grit. It's not subtle.
Yeah,
it's not
but
subtle.
It's like they were like, we need something that'll like lighten like, a little bit,
because
right?
The
like,
Lex Luthor of the movies and the comic books is more sophisticated. He's not gritty.
Spacey's performance. Wasn't Kevin Spacey Lex Luthor?
He was close to Lex Luthor. He also kind of plays like maniacal a little bit.
Uh-huh.
He played a little bit more whimsical.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor, in some cases he does, he is whimsical, but in general he has a lot of gravitas.
He has
a lot of gravitas.
There's a certain
whimsical. He was also whimsical, but everyone's been trying to play Hackman, right? Uh-huh. Whereas in the comic books, there's only like certain incarnations, I think, where he's a little bit more whimsical. Generally, he has a lot of gravitas.
Yeah.
He's a bald guy who
big buff dude
who wears. He's always perfectly dressed. He's always impeccably dressed, and he's always very calm. In fact, the best depictions of him are actually the animated series.
Yeah, there's a weird coldness about him too. Like, it's completely detached.
He's
like,
about power and domination.
Yeah.
He wants to rule the world, and he does it in the most Machiavellian way. He's actually not evil in the... Because at one point, he gets elected president.
Yeah.
And he's not a bad president. But he's also the president that's willing to set off a bomb in order to further his own power. Like, he's willing to do stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Right? In fact, at one point, I think he does set off a bomb.
Yeah.
Right? He sets off a bomb and... blames it on Superman.
What
he does, like, all sorts of, like, clever little things like that.
Speaking of the bomb thing, Like, why did they shoot the nuke in this? Like, what was that?
I don't know.
You know, when Superman and Doomsday are fighting,
yeah, why in did space, Superman get desiccated?
And they just shoot a nuclear bomb, and Superman's just sitting there, you know, like, all of a sudden he needs gel, or he needs some lotion because he's all ashy happened? And shit. Yeah.
It was a nuke. He got hit with nuclear fucking energy.
I thought usually him getting hit by a nuke doesn't do anything to him.
Far as I know, it never did anything. I mean, the guy literally shoots nuclear radiation out of his eyes and shit. Yeah. You know, like, I did appreciate that they gave Doomsday bones.
Well, that's what happened when he got nuked. They fucking gave him the bones and shit.
Yeah, because before that, I was like, this isn't Doomsday.
He looked like, you know, what it reminded me of? I was about to tweet during the movie. And it'd be like, someone they summoned the Uruk-hai.
I thought that's what it looked like to me. Yeah, it's Gollum on steroids. It's
a cave troll, you know? That's what it looked like. He looked like a fucking cave troll.
I thought that when they finally got to the battle scene, great.
Yeah, finally got to the battle scene.
It was, again, a very Zack Snyder battle scene. He's into this whole, like, obsession with the male form. Right?
He is. Yeah.
It's like, as you mentioned, it's always slow motion. It's always epic music. And it's always some dude, muscularness, going,
that's right? True.
It's
either
Batman or it's Superman. Like,
we got some gratuitous Ben Affleck working out scene.
Yeah. And some gratuitous fucking dude, Henry Cavill, built like a fucking brick shit house.
Yeah, dude, that dude's a should fucking be that Roman big. Statue, you know?
No one should be that big.
All right, so.
It just doesn't look right.
We all could agree Ben Affleck did a good job.
Yeah, Ben Affleck did a fantastic job. I think also because our expectations were so low.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things too where he knew that he had to hit it out of the park because
everyone went in with really low expectations.
Do you guys think he took over Christian Bale as Batman?
I think this is a much more compelling Batman for me.
Yeah, well, because here's the thing:
he's a darker Batman. He's more violent.
He's older in this one,
but he's also, you could tell he's struggling with his brutality. Right? He's a sociopath. Whereas in Dark Knight, you don't get to see the sociopath of him because he's too noble. Right?
He's new.
He's not just that he's new. He's fucking uncorruptible noble. This Batman is a personal internal struggle.
Like, this is a guy who's struggling to keep his violence in check, his anger in check. This is the Batman that he's literally
a villain on the side of good.
Yeah. I mean, the snapping neck is branding people.
The snap neck was a dream.
Yeah, but he could have almost gone there.
It's
he
dreaming about snapping people's necks.
He
stabbed somebody.
He did stab someone.
Yeah.
He also, I loved this fighting style way more. Whereas in the other one, it was a lot of like clack, 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 clack wings and punching people. This one, he's using his grappling gun as a weapon. He shot one guy with it. He's like, oh! And then he scorpioned him in the face.
Yeah. Mm.
Then he used it to swing Superman around like a rag doll. And he used it to shoot a giant box at someone.
Yeah.
So like it was a much more creative fight.
And it makes more sense because he's older, so he can't do the same things that he did when he was younger.
You hear a hint of it like where Alfred goes, what about the last 20 years of fighting crime? Those were regular criminals. This isn't, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So like he's been doing the Batman
thing. He also
thing.
Said in the beginning, I think. Didn't he say something to Alfred? We're criminals. We've always been criminals.
Yeah,
They're criminals. They've always been criminals.
No, I thought you said we.
No, they're criminals.
Technically, if you think about it. He's not a vigilante.
Yeah.
He's a criminal. He's just fighting on the side of so-called good.
Yeah, it just so happens that
Batman is much different. The other Batman is a good guy.
Yeah.
Right? He's a symbolic hero.
Yeah.
This guy isn't a symbol.
I'll take the blame.
He is legit. Fear.
Yeah, I like that he had like a voice.
Yeah, they had like the voice distortion thing. Yeah,
instead of fucking, where is she?
Well, he had a where is she moment. Who's Martha? I'm like, what is that scene?
No, because it was half his voice, half the.
Yeah, thing. I know, but it was such a stupid moment. That entire fight could have been avoided.
Yeah,
if Batman, they had used their words.
Yeah,
use your words, alien boy.
Yeah. Yeah, all Superman had to do was be like 50 feet away from Batman in the air and be like, look, bro. I'd really like to fight you right now, but that motherfucker Lex Luthor just kidnapped my mom. Can you help me find her and we can fight afterwards?
He must be like, no, you don't understand. I'm like, motherfucker, if you just told him, then he would.
The first thing he did is he comes up and he pushes him. I'm like, well, that's not going to start things. He's not on your side if you're going to push him. It's like if I ever come up to him like, Diz, I need you a favor and I punch you in your face.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you're not going to be inclined.
Fuck you, I won't take you your hairplane transport.
Like, I don't understand. Like, he's asking for help. Yeah. The first thing he does is he shoves the dude. Yeah.
He goes, save Martha. I'm going, listen, next, if I ever in a situation where like I'm about to die and someone's about to like stab me or shoot me in the face, I'm just going to yell random, you know, like words and sentences and hopefully something attaches. You know, like a guy's got me held up and like, you know, like a, you know, like a Bangkok gambling hall or some shit. And I'll just start yelling like goose, cheese wedge, save mom,
lock the dog, no more locked doors.
My dad, you said my dad's a pediatrician.
I'm bilingual, there's a difference.
Yeah, I know, right? Grilled cheese sandwich.
Just, you know, just yelling random shit.
And hopefully they'll be like, oh god. Like,
oh my god, he said bilingual. Me too.
You guys are too much.
And I'm like, okay, listen, no problem. I'm going to go and help you out and get you out of here.
Your mom's name's Martha too?
Yes.
Did we just become best friends?
We just became best friends. It's like, what the hell just happened?
Was that, is that his mom's name in the original comics?
Martha Wayne?
Yeah. I don't know. I think so.
It sounds.
Because I know it's like.
It sounds.
It's Thomas Wayne. His dad's name is Thomas. Know. They didn't show his dad's name. You notice the flowers were strategically hitting, hitting the Thomas
Wayne. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
he's just a prop.
It's a IDG. I don't give a fuck Wayne.
Is ID, his dad's name. JF.
Yeah, ID Gaff.
By the way, did you guys notice that his dad was the comedian?
Yep.
Oh yeah,
Zack Snyder likes to reuse that actor a lot, I guess.
His dad was the comedian.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah, it was kind of uncomfortable. I'm like, dude, this guy's evil.
Yeah, it was the comedian.
I know. He played the comedian really well. That's why.
But that's another movie. Watchmen is a good movie, but it's like it's very ham-fisted.
Yeah, it's Zack Snyder.
Movie. And another one of those fucking obsession with the male form stuff. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with it, right? But it's like a weird quirk of Zack Snyder's.
It is.
I mean, how long do you see? I mean, there's literally, if you just put together all the slow-mo of Dr. Manhattan, you'd have a porno.
Yeah, you see his dick a couple times.
Yeah. It's not, again, penis. There's nothing wrong with appreciating the male form. But it's like, it's done so ham-fistedly, right? Again, it's like literally, it's in the same way, like, whereas with Michael Bay, it's all slow motion of fucking, what's her face?
Blow-ups and shit.
Megan Fox.
Megan Fox. It's just like with him, of her body.
It's slow motions of superheroes and muscular men. Yeah, right?
It's a little too much.
It's weird. Sometimes. It's like, it doesn't fit the tone of the movie. Like, yeah, there can be an artistic way of doing that. There could be some really beautiful ways of highlighting the male form, but he just does it to do it at random.
But ain't nobody trying to see no radioactive blue penis, bro. And then why does
sure there's plenty of people.
Why
are you going to be so judgmental about penises? I'm just saying.
But look.
I mean, radioactive penises are just as good as any other penis.
No, but it gives you cancer, remember?
No, that was the government.
Okay. But then why at times was Dr. Manhattan wearing a Speedo? When he was in Vietnam, he was wearing a Speedo.
I don't know. Maybe
but then
he
was out in
public. He felt bad.
Those are the modesty rules.
Yeah, sometimes he wears a Speedo. Sometimes
well, here's a more traditional culture.
Like you know, like his mini Manhattan, his lower Manhattan, essentially was it was only out in during private moments.
Was it?
Yeah, he was working on science while he was making love to Silk Spectre.
Uh-huh.
But it's not like he just like flashed a Blue Johnson out like in the public. No,
he flashed a few times. He was kind of butt naked.
Yeah, in public.
Was he really? I don't remember. I always
he was
remember
butt naked at the end.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but he didn't give a fuck by then. He retired.
He was butt naked at the end, but he did show up in a suit.
Yeah.
See, exactly. Yeah. So it was like, he understands
sort of
taste a little bit.
Then he send everyone off somewhere else.
Now somebody can someone clarify this for me, because I don't remember, but I feel like the only tender moments between Lois Lane and Superman are amidst the deaths of hundreds of people.
No, they also
the fucked
him
in the bathtub. Yeah, they fucked in the bathtub.
Yeah, I know. After all those guys fucking died.
Yeah, he did a lot
in the desert.
Die.
Oddly enough, it's really weird, like mercenaries and CIA operatives who are both kind of a Luthorp thing.
Yeah,
that kill one another for some reason.
Wait, hold on. Like, here's what I was confused about. All right, here's one of the biggest gripes I have with the movie. Superman knows where Lois Lane is at all times, right?
No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
But in this movie, for some reason, he does.
No, I'm saying in this movie, he knows where Lois Lane is at all times, right?
Yeah.
But he can't keep tabs on his mom.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, what was meaning more is the fact that motherfucker was able to go across the world to find Lois Lane in the middle of the desert.
But that's because there was a tracking device.
Yeah.
But he didn't know where the tracking
device. No, the CIA, the government did, and then he went rogue on it. That was the whole point of that, right? Is that there was a tracking device. The government was involved. The CIA was involved. The guy's like, she didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
We used her to get credentials. He was CIA.
Uh-huh.
The government, he took unilateral action.
Okay.
So he's supposed to not act without the government's consent, but he did. That whole point was that he didn't follow the rules, right?
Uh-huh.
And they kept saying unilateral. That point of saying unilateral action is that he acted without the government's consent.
Okay. What about when he...
In a war zone.
What about when Luthor threw her off
the... That was a kind of BS moment.
Okay. But here's the one thing I did like.
Because at that point, Superman was up in Ice Mountain.
Yeah, but here's the one
thing. Oh yes, conjuring the dead.
Here's the one thing I did like in that. So in the original Superman, right, with Christopher Reeves, he stops her as she's falling, right?
Yeah.
Which realistically would have killed her, right? Mm-hmm. If
the impact
would have killed her, right? They had this debate on Big Bang Theory, but in this one, instead of catching her, he pushes her up, right? So it's not like he's catching her; she's going down.
He also goes at her speed, if you notice. He goes at
her speed and tries to match her.
She sees his face first and kind of...
Yeah, it's like a little a little nerd tidbit, right?
But it's another one of those weird things. Is like Lois Lane, it's another one of those...
People didn't like her in this movie.
But because they made her a damsel in distress.
Yeah.
Yeah, she really didn't do anything else. Yeah, now mind you,
in the story, she is a damsel in distress in Superman, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
In general, she's always getting in trouble and he needs to save her. But this was an opportunity to actually make her character have some agency. Yeah, she did some great investigative work. But how many times is Superman going to save her?
Yeah.
Literally, he saved her 3 separate times in the movie.
Yeah.
It's like one for every 30 minutes or some shit.
Yeah, he did. He did, huh?
Yeah, 3
separate times.
And I'm sorry, but...
He stopped fighting Doomsday to go and save her.
Yeah, the whole... I think the whole thing, he just stops fighting, and then Doomsday just kind of sits there and waits while he goes and saves
Lois. Doomsday's fighting Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman and Batman.
But dude, he just kind of leaves. Like, he just, like, he literally, they literally were just conflicting with one another.
And all of a sudden, he just kind of goes away. Abandoned the battle.
Yeah.
What is interesting, though, is that regardless of how shit the movie was, there's two things.
I didn't think it was shit. Like, I enjoyed it. Like, it was what it was.
Yeah, it was what it was. It wasn't as bad. I think I'm in the middle. I don't think it's as bad as V's reaction is negative. Your reaction's like, eh. So not so bad. I'm like, it's bad, but I'm not going to bitch too much about it.
Like, I wasn't upset about it. It was just there's parts for me that I just couldn't.
They definitely hinted at Darkseid
a lot.
In addition to the Justice League and all that, the whole ending of it, right? Yeah. The bells of ringing, something is coming from beyond the stars, right?
They had the demons coming from from the sky.
Yeah, he even flipped the photo. Yeah. The painting. So that's very clear, Darkseid, right? And I think on YouTube they showed like a clip where. When Lex Luthor is arrested, he's actually in the pool communing with some creature.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm like, and he managed to take over the ship really easy.
That was really dumb.
Okay, it's mine now.
All I needed was fingerprints. Who knew that all the advanced technology in the universe, and they use basic fingerprint
and
ID.
The ship can literally give you all the information
DMV
you want.
Uses.
Yeah.
The DMV technology is used.
Can they explain to me the Uruk-hai part too? Where like how he just his blood mixed with Zod's
apparently,
body.
Like he what it was is that he learned Kryptonian knowledge.
Okay.
And one of part of it was that they had these things called abominations. That were a mix of like bloods and something like that. And those abominations were like that's what he did. He used knowledge. It wasn't just he randomly did it.
Yeah.
He started with learning everything. I think that's also why he kind of went even more crazy at the end, right?
Yeah.
Is the knowledge was a bit much for him, maybe. What's interesting, though, is we can use this movie to really understand and critique the nature of superheroes.
I want to say something else before.
What?
So, Reza made a very great point at dinner tonight, and I want to tell him that he made a great point to his face because he was talking shit the whole time. Fuck you, Reza. But
you're really rude.
Yeah, I am. You did horrible at all your TED Talks and all your panels and hosting the Afghan American.
You're really a negative person in general. You did wonderful, Reza. I was
He's
really
lying
proud.
You. Don't listen to him. He's pandering
to you.
I was
super proud.
He's pandering to you.
I'm not pandering to him. I have no reason to pander.
You have every reason to pander. He's a Bruin. Anyway, so he said... They're hinting at Darkseid.
Wow. Talk about George Bush proud of not education over here.
So they're hinting at Darkseid, but what's going to happen after the first Justice League movie? If you go for like the most badass villain that you have,
what do you do? Darkseid isn't the most badass.
The most badass DC villain?
And he keeps coming back. It's like Thanos. He keeps coming back.
Mm.
He is. Like, he gets his ass kicked and he comes back.
Yeah, I don't know.
I have many things, Kal-El, but here, I will always be a god.
Mm.
It's one of his most famous lines. Him, Thanos, along with Thanos is one of my favorite characters in regards to the fact that he's extraordinarily Shakespearean.
I think he just ripped off Darkseid, though.
He is not Thanos. I'm sorry, Darkseid is more Shakespearean.
Yeah,
that's what I meant. Darkseid is wonderfully Shakespearean and Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
Apocalypse is another one. I think they're gonna actually not bring that part of Apocalypse out. He's much more. He seems more subdued and subtle.
Yeah,
in the trailers.
Yeah, and there's a weird like
quietness the way he talks.
And he's like this poet.
He's more like prophetic.
I don't know.
Prophet.
You follow false.
Whereas in the comic books, he's very Shakespeare. He's larger than life.
Yeah.
He speaks as he's
almost like yeah. He's a really god.
And Darkseid does the same thing. He's very megalomaniac as he fights.
You were saying?
So I think the movie really offers us an opportunity to critique or understand the nature of superheroes or heroes in general, according to Zack Snyder. So Zack Snyder put up, I mean, he very deliberately said what? God versus man, right? And man defeats God. Right. So, like, what does that tell us about superheroes? Right. What does that tell us about the nature of superheroes? Superman is fundamentally perfect in this movie, other than the scenes where Batman is having a vision and it seems like Superman is struggling with some type of inner rage. In reality, it seems like Superman is very uncorruptible. Right.
Yeah.
He's almost like the Dark Knight. In that sense, from Nolan's movies,
yeah.
Superman is uncorruptible. In fact, he even tells Lex Luthor, "I won't break you as I take you in." Mm-hmm. Right? So he's very like kind of flawless in that sense. He's willing to be the symbol. He even shows up to Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
Batman, on the other hand, is corruptible.
Yeah.
He's struggling with his rage and loses a couple times, right?
Yeah.
He's breaking bones and stabbing people and shooting people with fucking grappling guns.
Yeah. And legless pooch makes him go crazy. Yeah.
So, like, he goes, he gets nuts a little bit, right?
Legless pooch.
So,
jackass.
So, you know, what does this kind of tell us? You know what I mean? What is Zack Snyder kind of hinting at here in regards to the superhero?
He's trying to be like symbolic and saying that we're better than gods?
Yeah, I think he's talking about the imperfection of man, but yet man somehow defeats God.
Kind of weird.
If you think about it, right? I mean, Superman very much, it's not just that he's overtly referenced as God by Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
He is, there's the whole cosmology discussion amongst the on TV, the debaters. They also ended
Neil deGrasse Tyson
with Superman and Lois Lane's arm like the Pietà,
yeah.
With Batman and Wonder Woman looking away.
And he is risen.
So the idea being that he is very much a Christ-like figure. Superman sacrifices himself to defeat the devil, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he says if God won't do it, if man won't kill God, then the devil will do it. And so he summons the devil, which is
Doomsday.
Yeah.
And he sacrifices himself to fight the devil in order to save mankind. And that in turn does what to Batman? What does Batman say at the end to her?
There's going to be more of them coming.
I failed in life. I will not fail him in death.
Yeah. Oh, I failed him in life. Yeah, I won't fail him in death.
Yeah.
Right? So like, it's almost as if the sacrifice is to transform Batman. It gives Batman hope. Up until this point, Batman says what? There are no heroes, right? That's Batman's position. There are no heroes. There are no good guys. He even says that to Alfred. There are no good guys. We've done this for 20 years.
Yeah.
What did we learn? There are no good guys. And at the end, his words are thrown back at him by Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Woman says, I walked away from the world of man 100 years ago because of the evils and horrors of men. And Batman says what?
I don't remember.
Men are good.
Yeah.
Man is good.
And invariably, Superman's going to resurrect, right? And he's going to come back and save.
So he actually changes his position.
I thought that was stupid, by the way. I think that was a fucking cop-out. Because they didn't want to end it on like a darker note, because superhero movies aren't supposed to be dark like that. But I think killing Superman would have set you apart.
Yeah, but that's part of the comic book. Is in the comic books, Doomsday kills him.
Yeah.
He does come back,
but after it's really DC did a really stupid thing where they like in like four different iterations of different like superpowered characters. It was a really dumb thing that they did.
I don't like this. I don't understand how he comes back if he's dead.
Yeah,
he comes back in the comic books.
My favorite villain was a jar of iced grandma's peach tea. That was my favorite villain.
My real question is, did he pee in that bucket?
That's what I want to know. Yeah, like that's because that's a lot of pee.
Yeah, you could pee in a glass and call it grandma's peach tea for all I care.
Yeah. And let me ask you something.
But why did she get all emotional over the peach?
Yeah.
No, because she noticed that he was going to.
No, eventually she did, but she got emotional right off
the bat. Yeah, she sat there like looking in horror about to cry.
And then she just stopped and got all like discombobulated.
I think she noticed he was up to something.
No, it wasn't until she saw the empty seat, she looked up, that's when she's like, oh shit, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
But before that, just the peach tea made her discombobulate, and then she turned it, and it actually said Grandma's peach.
Yeah. So I'm actually going to say that it probably was piss, because if she had the drink there, she obviously ordered it.
Yeah.
So it didn't taste like whatever what she ordered.
She didn't drink it, homie.
She didn't drink it. She didn't drink it?
No, bro, she didn't drink it. She just looked at it.
I must have fallen asleep.
But still, it must have been the pee.
No, because she kind of like this. She like stopped. She was like, ugh. It reminded me of that time in Dumb and Dumber when they pull over the shaggin' wagon and he drinks the pee out of the beer bottle. Like, he did like the same thing. I was like,
in what movie?
Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber.
I don't remember that. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, the damn room blows up and Superman just sits there while everything's going slow-mo.
Yeah.
Well, you couldn't try to save at least one person when this happened?
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. With all the super speed, he didn't do shit.
Did it happen too fast for him?
Yeah, but really?
I don't know.
Again, that's another interesting commentary, right? Is that he gets so lost in himself, in his symbology, that he makes mistakes.
Yeah.
So, but again, these are all very ham-fisted metaphors.
It was just
the redemption of Batman was that kind of blunt.
The redemption of man?
The redemption of man, because it's not just the redemption of him. It's not that Batman became a good guy. Batman's still an asshole.
Yeah.
Right? But Batman suddenly has hope.
Yeah.
Right? Enough that he's willing to gather everyone else and create a team together.
Batman was dope.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But that happens. I won't let him down in life. Man, you didn't give a shit about it. You were ready to stab him with a green spear.
Yeah, you were ready to kill him.
Look at that. Longinus with the spear, and all of a sudden he becomes the man. Yeah.
Wait.
Stabbed Christ.
So if they were worried, well, no, I guess never mind. That makes sense. I was going to say, like, because they could only kill Darkseid with the kryptonite, but how does
Superman... You can't kill Darkseid with the kryptonite.
Doomsday.
With the kryptonite, but Superman kind of just died because Doomsday stabbed him.
It's because he was near the kryptonite.
Yeah, because the kryptonite was with him, and he was weakened. It was weakening him. So he used the last of his energy force, or whatever it is, to drive the spear through.
Whereas in the comic books, he kills him, and dies in the process.
Like Doomsday in the comic books is like this really weird scientific experiment, and he like ends up becoming like the best, the most destructive force, and like gladiatorial planets and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then
he beats the shit out of Superman. Superman kills him. I think he slams him in the ground. Isn't that what it was? Right?
Yeah.
He slams him in the ground, and then Superman himself also dies.
Yeah.
From his injuries. And then he comes back. The only other time, I think, there's only, I think, two other people that beat Superman's ass, like, significant. One is Batman. One is Darkseid.
Well, doesn't Wonder Woman have the same amount of strength as Superman?
Technically not, as far as I'm aware.
I'm not sure.
She can, like, when it comes to just...
She's super strong.
Pound for pound strength, she's the only one who could keep up with them.
I don't know if she can. Maybe she can, but I don't know. Strength. Because as far as I'm aware, he's supposed to be stronger than... He's got super strength. She's got super strength, too, but...
But she could keep up with them. It's not like she could beat him, but she could keep up with them.
Because she relies on things like her weapon and her last... Like, that's what gives her the edge, is those things. Superman, on the other hand, because she doesn't have laser vision and all that. I gotta admit, I did love the fact that they also showed her gauntlets.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, that was the best... I mean, people clapped in my theater. Yeah. Did people clap in your theaters when she came in?
I watched it in the middle of the night.
Okay, because my theater was full. It was Easter, so... But, like, when she kind of came in and you know the block thing, you kind of heard
people, and then she also like did the resonating. Yeah, it was kind of cool.
Yeah, and I gotta tell you, like, in terms of Zack Snyder's style, his depiction of Wonder Woman coming in there was probably the most perfect.
Was it just me, or every time they showed like a picture of Wonder Woman or Wonder Woman in her like outfit, they had like a different like little score behind it? Like a little,
I'm not sure.
Yeah, the thing is that he uses this like brooding epic music for
Hans everything, Zimmer. Though. Yeah, but Hans Zimmer is epic music no matter what. But what the problem is, and V's right about this, right? This is his style. It's not just that he does the brooding music, but he also does this over, like, what he goes is like, I need epic scenes. Like, he consciously, epic scenes should be epic because they're naturally so.
Yeah.
Right?
They shouldn't be like, forcefully epic.
They organically, like, whoa, they inspire awe. What he does, that's why, how many times did you see Superman floating and his cape was billowing behind him and there was some score? I mean, like, he did that, like, at least four times in the movie.
Yeah,
he's looking over Batman. There was that time where he saved the... All of that is, like, him consciously going, that's epic.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what makes the movie so ham-fisted. It doesn't work well.
A little much. There was a lot going on in the movie.
There was a lot going on.
But
I enjoyed
end of day.
The fight scene.
Give it a 6.5, 7.
I give it a 5.
V?
You know, I give it a 5.
Give it a 5?
Yeah.
Okay.
I give it a 5 if Luthor wasn't it. I might give it a 4.
People are really unhappy with the movie.
They are. But yeah. it's mixed about.
Nerds are very unhappy with the movie. It didn't do too well with Rotten Tomatoes.
No.
And it's also, according to like New York Times or someone who calculated it, it's the fastest weekend drop, meaning that
it missed its numbers on Sunday.
It did a fantastic job on Friday. It opened massively and it dropped dramatically by Sunday. So like it didn't sustain it. So obviously the hype brought people in.
Yeah.
But word of mouth eventually keeps
people. Well, they hyped the movie for fucking 3 years. Yeah. What do you expect?
But then the word of mouth, people found out how much it sucked and bought.
It didn't suck, dude. It was what it was.
Yeah, I actually tweeted about this too because it's interesting because you had the people who really didn't like the movie and then the people who were kind of backlashing to that kind of cited the box office opening numbers, right? I'm going, that doesn't change the fact that the movie had so many faults to it.
Yeah, it didn't do
well. You know, and then everything, it's like really the true indication of what it was what would happen after opening weekend. Because people are going to watch, it's Batman versus Superman, for God's sakes. People, of course they're going to fucking watch it.
It was, you know? What it was, bro.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should end it here. Mm-hmm. It was an interesting podcast. I should note that there are some news stories that are currently going on, like the hijacking that happened in Egypt and Damascus, the young boy that was shot today, as well as the GOP town hall that just happened, the bombing in Lahore, Pakistan that happened over the weekend.
Facebook thought I was in Lahore.
These are things that we will cover next week as more news is available. And more details come out. They're still quite fresh. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to touch on the GOP debate much. No, the town hall, we've talked about it enough. The only real difference is that all three of the candidates kind of backed away from their original pledge that they would back whoever turned out to be the candidate. So all that like shit talking has gotten to them. They've turned away from their pledge. Yeah. So Diz, why don't you take us out?
You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/currentlynerdy. Go on there, like our page, share our posts, write in our walls, send us some DMs. We're on Twitter @currentlynerdy. Hashtag of the week this week is #AfghanCon versus WonderCon.
Sounds good.
All right. So go on there. #AskCurrentlyNerdy always going around. Tell us what you thought of the movie. Did you like it? Did you hate it? Did you think it was You know, where do you fall on that spectrum? You could find us on Instagram, currentlynerdy on Instagram. Go on there, follow us, like our pictures. Share our pictures to your friends, write some comments, tell V that he's doing a good job. Tumblr, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. Go on there, follow us, retumble, do all the good stuff, write some notes. YouTube, search Currently Nerdy on YouTube, find some videos on there. Where else are we on? iTunes, rate, review,
and subscribe. Do you have a YouTube channel?
Yeah, sometimes. Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, por favor, because the more ratings we get and the more reviews we get, the higher we get up on the algorithms on the iTunes list, and that way, you know, we could become popular and I don't have to have a day job. And if your friends don't like iTunes, currentlynerdy.com, best way to reach us other than that. If you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, let them know how they can get a hold of you.
Of course, you can find me on my website at thesandwichslayer.com. I just actually opened the Instagram account for it as well, so go ahead and follow me on Instagram at thesandwichslayer. You can also find me on my regular Instagram and my Twitter at vtran214. That's VYTRAN214. Ali?
You can catch me on my website, aliolomi.com, aliolomi.com. Or you can find me on Twitter at aaolomi. Diz.
You can find me everywhere in the World Wide Web at Dizbulla, DIZBULLAH.
For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you more than we love Batman versus Superman.
Dawn of Justice.